You're listening to Potty Mouth Radio, the home of movies, music, television, and comedy. The following podcast contains spoilers and rude words. We watch a thing.
We watch a thing. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Night of Nights. We're here on the red carpet. We've got our frocks on. We've got our martinis.
We do indeed.
I'm excited to talk about this.
I'm so embarrassed. I just saw Ariana Grande, and we're both wearing the same giant piece of chewed up bubble gum.
That would be embarrassing. Oh, but here we are. We're here to wrap up the Night of Nights for you and go over the Oscars, how we felt about the winners, how we felt about the losers, how we felt about the event itself.
Most importantly, who is giving who a movie to watch on the show?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you went back and did the tally.
Did you?
So I know who's doing who.
That's right, because it was back when the nominations were announced that we did our who we thought would win. So, I have a feeling you got it.
You might be surprised. Or you might not.
And
we shall see.
At the end, as with previous years, we're going to do a review at the end of this episode because I don't know how long we'll talk about the Oscars. But to be honest, I don't know how long we'll talk about the movie because we're doing the Spaceman Netflix release. But before we get into that, let's talk some Oscars. Did you watch the ceremony live, my friend?
I tried. I was home crook with a stonking migraine.
Or at least that's what you told the boss.
I did. I even ended up taking an endone to about halfway through the day, which then knocked me out for about 9 hours. No, I get shock and headaches. I think I've probably got a tumor. You missed your opportunity.
It's not a tumor.
So now I assume it is a tumor. No, look, I tried to tune in and I couldn't. The headache was too bad, so I listened to part of it.
Yeah, okay.
Sporadically, so I got most of the main ones.
Yeah.
I think from sort of reports I've heard since, I heard the speeches that were worth hearing.
Yeah.
And probably missed a whole bunch of fluff and bother that didn't need to be watched.
Yeah. Yeah. I did watch the whole thing live. As I usually do, I enjoy the Oscars, and also it helped that it was a public holiday here, so day off work.
I did hear all of the good Jimmy Kimmel, Donald Trump shade. That was worth hearing.
Well, I mean, let's start. We don't always talk about the hosts, but what were your thoughts on Kimmel?
Oh, Kimmel can do no. I love Kimmel.
Really?
I find for 3, 2, 1. Let's alienate some American listeners. I find him refreshingly deprecating, self-deprecating.
Yeah, okay.
For an American talk show host, normally that gig seems to just inflate people's egos.
Like Leno.
And all of these guys started out as genuinely good comedians.
Yeah,
Leno,
comics, yeah.
Letterman,
yeah.
All of them, I liked them early on. And then something about them being in a position of power with everyone from top A-list movie stars to, you know, the incumbent president of the nation as guests that they're in charge seems to just give this the egos just bloom. And he and speaking of Jimmy's, Fallon both seem somehow to have avoided that, and they both still happily take the piss out of themselves, which I really like.
Yeah, I thought Kimmel was
fine. Kimmel did the whole, when he was still with Sarah Silverman, did the whole Affleck Damon. Do you remember those? That's a pass for life as far as I'm concerned.
I think Sarah Silverman's a lot funnier than Kimmel is. I thought that Kimmel did okay, but man, I tell you what, it's not Billy Crystal. I miss Billy Crystal hosting the Oscars.
He was good. Look, I've liked most of the hosts. I think 1 year we had Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, which was a bit painful, but I think that
was who was it that Franco did it with?
Oh God, did Franco do it? I don't remember that.
Yeah, and it was him.
Surely it was either Jonah Hill or Seth Rogen.
No. Am I imagining this? It was like, it was him and I want to say Anne Hathaway or something.
No.
Surely she's
never hosted, surely.
Yes, it was James Franco and Anne Hathaway. They hosted the Oscars together and it was awful. It was the worst Oscars ever. It was so awkward. It was so unfunny.
You couldn't. Even 2011. I'm looking at that.
2011, that was.
Who was immediately before Faye and Pola? Because they were brought in, weren't they? Because
I reckon they were the like year Chris after.
Rock or, it was Chris Rock or someone did it that did a full Ricky Gervais and just yeah. killed. You
now,
know,
Ricky Gervais, there's someone too many who fatted calves,
and yeah. they went, nah.
And the ceremony actually ran slightly under this year too, which surprised me because the way that they were hosting the awards.
Full props to Al
Pacino. Oh, yeah, he sped through it.
Everything seemed to be going longer, and then he came in and went, best picture,
yeah,
it's this.
Yeah. Oh, man, it was like, I think I see Oppenheimer.
Dude, you want to read out the nominees? Or yeah. No, fuck it, whatever.
It was wild. It was completely wild. Insane. But yeah, all right, so let's get into it. So, actually, before we get into the awards proper, talking about the ceremony, the one bit that really, really did make me laugh was Cena. John Cena. I don't know why it got me so bad. Dude, it was so funny.
That was one of the few things where I was actually watching.
Yeah.
And thank God, because it was literally one of the high points. That and yeah. I think immediately before or immediately after was Gosling and Slash doing the giant I Am Ken extravaganza, which was also amazing. They were the two high points for me, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, the Cena thing was hysterical.
Oh, it was almost as funny as Bradley Cooper's desperation for the Oscars. He wants an Oscar so fucking bad, and I just hope that he never gets one, because the longer he doesn't get one, the funnier it's going to be. Because it seems to be all he wants in life is just an Oscar. let's get straight into
props
it.
Props to his mum, though. She was cool.
Let's get straight into it. I tried to watch as many of the Best Picture nominees as I could this year. There were only two in the end that I didn't get to.
Oh, wow.
Which
do you want to rattle off the 10? Because there's so many I can't even fucking
We'll do that
them.
When we get to that category. But right. I just thought I'd mention up top. Because I think, you know, most of the categories kind of covered the 10 movies, essentially. The two that I didn't get to were American Fiction, which I really would like to, and Maestro, which I really don't care about getting to.
It had some very, very good things, and it had some... Yeah. Not going to dwell on it.
Well, I don't think we need to go over every category. I'm not going to list off all of the winners and nominees for everything, but there's some that I just want to touch on. I want to
start with VFX.
Well, no, I want to start with animated feature film and ask your thoughts on this, because I know that your thoughts will be strong, because obviously it did not go to Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
We wouldn't. There was zero surprise.
There didn't surprise you.
In the entire awards, there are two categories that were a surprise.
Really? I was surprised by quite a few. And,
I know, I can tell. I'm looking at the score sheet.
Most of the ones that surprised me, I was really happy about, though. But I just wasn't sure how you would feel about this. I mean, let's face it, it's a bit of a career award for Miyazaki. We've both spoken about how there's still a third Spider-Man film coming.
And I mean, one stat which I hadn't focused on, it's, I think, 20 years since the last time a hand-drawn 2D animated film won. And that was Spirited Away.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, it must have been longer than, because that was 2001, yeah. Spirited Away. So, yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, well, maybe. Oh, well, 22. But apparently, that was the last time.
Yeah, right.
An old school animated film won.
Yeah.
So it kind of seems so, you know, doubly poignant. But yeah. But even with leaving that aside, we knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
100%. Spider-Man's going to get all the awards.
Yeah. Another
next year after next it'll be, won't it?
Yeah. Another category that did not surprise me in the slightest was Best Song. Halfly because, you know, some of those nominations were just awful.
That fucking Flaming Hot Cheeto bullshit, whatever.
I mean,
that was such...
That movie just fell right into obscurity. It's got very middling reviews. I don't know how that song got nominated.
Not even familiar with the movie, but that... And I'm not familiar with that... pint-sized cute little singer, but apparently she's assume a thing, but that song was so forgettable.
Oh yeah.
How the hell that's nominated and White Noise didn't fucking win last year.
So not a surprise at all that Billie Eilish won, but here's a fun fact for you, because obviously
Julio said in his patron chat, the patriarchy is defeated because Billie Eilish beat Ryan Gosling.
I mean, Scorsese went 0-10 for the second year in a row.
Oh, you can see it on his face.
Here's a fun fact, though. With her second win at the Academy Awards, Billie Eilish now has more Oscars than Scorsese, Kubrick, Hitchcock, Akira Kurosawa, and Paul Thomas Anderson combined.
That's unbelievable. That's amazing.
That's wild, isn't it? It's easily the best song of the year.
I haven't looked it up, but she and Phineas have got to have... That's got to be a record for the youngest people to have... Two Oscars, surely.
Probably. Yeah, that would make sense. I know that because she's younger than me. I think she's only 24, 25. Yeah,
don't flatter yourself. I know you're younger than me. You're not that young. Yeah. She's way younger than you, bro.
So, yeah, I was happy with that, though. What really surprised me, and look, I didn't expect it to get much, but I was surprised that that was Barbie's only win for the night. I really thought that with Greta not being nominated, I thought it might get something. I really thought it might land adapted production screenplay.
That production design was the one that flawed. I'm not unhappy. I mean, obviously, we love.
I loved Poor Things. And I was
that was the bone they were going to throw to Barbie.
But when Poor Things got that back-to-back run of makeup, costume, production design, I was like, yes, yes. So good, and they all surprised me because I really thought Barbie was going to have more wins.
That's a lot. That's about half of our X's right there. Is all of those where we didn't think it was going to. I mean, I think from memory, I can't remember even if we speculated on costume, but I think we did discuss that it could be something that gets thrown to Napoleon, which is not going to get anything else. I didn't expect it to go to Poor Things.
No,
there was another surprise to me was. Firstly, when did sound just become fucking sound?
That was last year that they merged the two, and I think they did it mainly.
Bullshit.
I'm okay with it. I think they did it mainly because most of the people within the Academy were kind of confused about the difference between the two.
Rather than explain that there are two entirely different disciplines within the world of cinema that are completely fucking different, we're just going to call it sound because it's easier.
But you could do that with every category. Fuck off. It's the same with visual effects. There's 2D streams and 3D streams, but they don't separate them for awards. Like, because if they did, you'd probably give the 2D stream to Oppenheimer. I'm so glad that VFX went to Godzilla. Oh my God, best moment of the night. I only wish that Godzilla has been nominated for more, but at least it got its most deserved.
I still haven't got to it because it's
award.
Not on anywhere near me, and it's not available on streaming. It's not I couldn't see it even if I wanted to fucking do it illegally. I couldn't do it. I'm gagging for it.
Yeah.
But I was super happy. I was super happy for you because I knew you'd have a big shit-eating grin on your face.
Yeah. I was.
But it's just delightful that. $15 million film won.
Yes.
And I love the creator, but that made me super happy.
And this is only the second time in Oscars history, I believe, that the Oscar for visual effects has gone to the director because he literally did it. The only other time that's happened was Kubrick with 2001 Space Odyssey, which is Kubrick's only Oscar. So
which is also fucking wild.
Before we move on, you brought up sound. I was extremely happy with and surprised with the way that fell because I really thought that was one of the ones that was going to go to Oppie. Like along with editing, I thought it was going to go there.
Explosion. So that's literally.
But you haven't got to Zone of Interest yet, have you?
No, I'm very keen, and I think I've said I'm a huge Martin Ames fan. I love Jonathan Glazer. After Anatomy of a Fall, I'm a big fan of
Sandra Hula.
Sandra Hula.
Zone of Interest is a very good movie, and the best thing about it is the sound design. So I was happy that happened.
That was one of the biggest surprises for me. Like I expected, as you do, I expected that to go to something with lots of, crash, bam, wallop, thump, explosion, boom. What little I've seen of Zone of Interest, and I haven't even seen a trailer, but the clips within the show and what little I've seen, it's a fairly intimate sort of film.
From memory, there's no score throughout almost the entire thing. It's all in German or Polish dialogue, I guess. And the craziest thing about it is it's very slice of life. It's almost like I remember hearing Ricky Gervais talk about when he created The Office. Now this is going to sound like a really weird pull until I get to the point, But he was talking about what made
that seen the last few episodes, so if there are Nazis, don't spoil it.
Well, he was saying what made that show work so well was that unlike your typical sitcoms where the love interest, for example, is at the forefront, what he did with The Office was he took the love interest and he threw it in the corner. Yeah. And, you know, so your main character is, this annoying boss who would usually be like the kind of side character
for
you.
But you're rooting for the second guy over in the corner and the girl.
But so what it does is that it makes everything happen in that corner seem big because you're not focused on it. So every little touch, every little time they look at each other, you notice it more.
And that's kind of what this film. I haven't watched that show in years, but there is a lot of those.
It's all glances. It's all just side glances.
But in the background,
exactly.
David Brent's right up in camera, and you've literally got your attention is drawn to characters in the background,
100%.
Looking at each other.
That,
across the room.
I know that sounds like a really weird pull, but that is what this movie does so well: is that it's not about Auschwitz. It's not focused on Auschwitz. It's about the family who live next door, and so most of the dialogue is just bland. Them kind of talking to each other about. Very unimportant stuff. For the first 45 minutes, it almost doesn't follow a plot. There's not even really a plot beat until about 45 minutes in when something happens, but even then it's not huge. Hearing sounds of Auschwitz over the fence, and every now and then they talk about it, but they talk about it in a very removed way, like, oh, over there, that's where that happens. But that's not what the movie is about. It's very interesting. I can't recommend it enough.
If this is a... something that I shouldn't know before I go in, just say so and don't tell me. But when you start the film, do you as a viewer know where this family is?
Yes.
Or does that become apparent later?
No, you know straight up.
They're right next door to Auschwitz.
He's the one who set it up. He works there every day.
Yeah. And so, well, then
it's not like that's a twist or anything.
Do the family know at the outset what's
happening? The children know. The wife knows. Yeah, everybody knows.
Fascinating. Geez, Martin Ames is a fucking underrated. I mean, he's super famous, and his dad's one of the greatest writers of the last 200 years. So he's not underrated, but not enough people. Seem to read his stuff. He's a really good fucking writer.
Yeah, so I was very, very, very happy that that took sound.
And just as an aside.
And also international feature, which I really thought might have fallen the way of one of the other films. But the two biggest surprises for me of the night, and I don't know, maybe not big surprises for anybody else. I mean, the two screenplay awards kind of threw me a bit.
Both of those wrong.
Okay. I mean, original Going to Anatomy of Fall makes sense. That also picked up original.
And it was flavored. I think I've said, I thought it was a very good film. I didn't think it was a great film.
Same. I thought it was a good film that if this is going to sound really kind of stupid, to be honest, but if this wasn't a foreign film, I don't think anybody would have cared. With the exact same script. I do think it's a good film.
It's not a great courtroom drama. It's not a great murder mystery.
I don't think it's a mystery at all.
It's an enjoyable watch with good acting, and very good acting. I think the cast are probably the best thing about it, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, my pick for that 100% would have been either Holdovers or Past Lives. I thought Past Lives was brilliant.
So surprised by that. American Fiction.
That shocked me.
I haven't seen it either,
but it seems to me like very few people have seen it. Like of all of the nominees, that was the one that I have heard the least buzz about. And so it really surprised me.
And most of the buzz is around the acting.
Yeah. 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 I thought for sure that adapted screenplay was going to go to Barbie to give it something, to give Greta an award. But
once again,
no, it just seemed like the strangest thing ever to me. And I'm still astonished by how little,
given that, I mean, this is not like Saltburn, where it hurts me deeply, but I understand why it's not nominated for stuff. It's off kilter. A lot of people didn't like it. Universally, everyone from critics to the most mainstream of audience goers, love the shit out of Barbie. There's no one other than the most fucking MAGA bloody incel, has a bad word to say about it. And yet, no one wants to give it fucking awards?
I found it baffling. I still, you know, I've been on this diatribe, I can't remember when, probably when we did, looked at the nominations about the kind of split between adapted and original.
Oh, don't get, yeah.
The weirdest thing, I mean, the fact that Maestro is up for original when it's based on a person, but Barbie is in...
Not only that, it's based on a book.
Well, apparently not. If it was based on a book, you'd think it would be in adapted with, you know, Oppenheimer, same thing. It's a biopic based on a book. But it just, it doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Shall we get over to the acting awards?
Yeah, this is where we each owe each other a film.
Okay.
All right, so we can skip over actress in support, no surprises.
No surprises in supporting at all. That's what I was just going to say. Divine Joy Randolph getting actress, completely expected. Robert Downey Jr. getting actor, completely expected.
And happy.
Yeah, I thought he was good in that film.
Ruffalo will get one.
I was going to say, for me, Ruffalo edges it, but that's fine. Actress, of course, caused quite the stir. Emma Stone did not expect it. I don't know if you were watching at this point. She was shook. She had no idea this was coming.
I love her so much.
Me too. And I'm, look, I really thought this was going to Lily Gladstone, and I would have been happy if it did.
One of the best actress speeches from the last 30 years, I reckon. Yeah.
I would have been happy with this going to Lily Gladstone, which is what I expected. But Emma Stone, I never saw this coming. Never.
I know. So I owe you a film because I never wavered on the fact that I thought she was winning it. I never thought Lily Gladstone had a shot, much as she's great and she's the best thing about that fucking turgid, interminable film. no, I exaggerate. It's a good film. It's just too long. But... She's fabulous and the best thing about it, but Emily had it in the bag from day dot as far as I was not surprised and I was pleased as punch and she was a delight as always.
Yeah.
Actor, on the other hand.
Who did you pick for actor? How could you have picked anyone?
I thought Giamatti. Giamatti had it.
This award was always going to Killian.
He was it. I mean, in hindsight, I'm feeling stupid, but at the time, Giamatti seemed to be... I thought Oppenheimer's going to win because I picked Oppenheimer to win almost everything else.
Yeah.
But I thought actor was going to be the sort of standout.
Yeah.
And he was going to nail it. But
yeah, no. Killian, it didn't surprise me.
I love Killian
Murphy. I like Killian Murphy.
Yep. I would have liked Paul Giamatti to win it, but
yeah.
Not unhappy.
Yeah. I think in a different year, if, you know, let's say that the holdovers came out last year, I think Giamatti would have won.
I thought
going to break the Killian Murphy train.
I thought Giamatti was going to be another The Whale.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be... It's not winning anything else, but he's so good.
Yeah.
And everyone loves him so much. And he was riding high after that In-N-Out Burger photo. I thought that's going to be the clincher.
Yeah.
Where everyone loves him.
Obviously, I don't think there were any surprises with Best Director or Best Picture. It was always going to be Nolan. It was always going to be Oppie. They're not who I would have picked, but whatever.
No, but we knew that was what it was.
To be honest, if anything, I'm actually surprised with how relatively few awards Oppie did end up going home with. Because, of course, it didn't take screenplay. It didn't take, production design, sound, any of those that I thought it was going to take.
Got editing. That was one where I beat you.
Yes, it did take editing, which I don't agree with personally as an editor, but whatever, that's fine. That is what it is.
I actually didn't think any of the Flowers was going to pick that up.
I think so. I actually don't think that any of the nominees really excited me this year in that category, but Flowers, I think, was the best one of them.
Oh, the best edited films that I saw that year were probably Saltburn and Poor Things.
Yeah. Yeah, they were great. Which also, I'm shocked that Saltburn wasn't up for cinematography. That's just outrageous.
If it's not going to be up for Best Supporting Actress, it's not getting fucking any nominations. Yeah.
So, yeah, all in all, I was relatively happy with how the night went. I there were no surprises that really upset me. I was pretty cool with this Oscars.
So would it surprise you to learn that you and I were neck and neck? We had exactly the same number of picks where we were right.
Yeah, right.
I think, you won the VFX one. I obviously thought it was going to be creator. I beat you on the editing. Other than that, we were lockstep for the entire thing apart from the two leading actor-actress. and I got actress, you got actor. So we broke even. And because we put all of the money on the acting ones, we each owe each other a film to watch. So
all right.
I think there's an episode down the track. You give me something, I'll give you something, and we'll come back and talk about them.
Nice. Well, I'm assuming we're going to give each other awful films. So speaking of awful films, shall we talk about Spaceman?
I mean, you've already seen Your Highness. What am I going to give you?
Oh, man, Your Highness is such a piece of shit.
No, I'm going to give you something that I genuinely think you'll love because I'm a nice person.
All right. Well, let's jump into this then. Spaceman is a 2024 American science fiction drama film directed by Johan Renck and written by Colby Day, based on the 2017 novel Spaceman of Bohemia, and it stars Adam Sandler, Carey Mulligan, Kunal Nayar, Isabella Rossellini, and Paul Dano. And I don't know. What's it about, Dave?
It's about a spaceman.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler is an astronaut who is on umpteenth mission, where he's heading out past Jupiter to investigate some Magellanic Cloud bullshit that they've seen out there, a big spacey MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, his wife Carey Mulligan is underutilized back on Earth.
Yep.
And Raj from Big Bang Theory is sitting in NASA's. Let's get this out of the way. It's a checkbook. This is an alternate reality where, because it's set in the 1990s, it's not set in the present. It's in the 1990s where the two leading space powers are Korea and the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
And our main character, Jakob, is the leading Czech Republic astronaut who is racing to get to said MacGuffin cloud before the rival Korean expedition. But because America, we don't have Czech cast in this.
Yeah.
We just have Czech named people speaking with American accents.
Yeah.
And
I was thoroughly while on the trip.
Oh no, I haven't got to the silly bit yet. While on the trip, he encounters either an apparition or an alien that looks like a big spider and is voiced by Paul Dano.
Yeah.
And giant spider helps him realize who he wants to be as a person and saves him.
Yeah. I was thoroughly disappointed in this movie. Like, not only, this movie's been panned really in reviews. And even after the reviews, it kind of just got my hopes higher. Because I read the reviews. They were all talking about how boring it is. They were talking about how dull it is, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, okay, hopefully that this just isn't the movie they were looking for. Because I like a slow movie like this. I read the description thing, and I was like, I'm going to love this movie. I like Adam Sandler in dramatic roles. I like the kind of introspection usually, but this was just bad.
I'm probably, weirdly for a Sandler thing, I think I'm probably warmer on it than you. I did come in with high expectations, which weren't met, because it is from the guy who gave us Chernobyl. So I kind of went in with pretty big expectations.
Yeah.
This just feels like some film student's a big Villeneuve fan went,
that's
oh,
this
what
is, I thought oh, too.
What if a rival and an enemy were the same movie?
Yeah.
It's not as deep as it thinks it is.
No, that's my biggest problem with it.
It's kind of attempting to be another Eternal Sunshine or 2001 or Interstellar, and it's not even remotely in the same camp as any of those films.
Yeah.
It's really quite pedestrian in terms of the messaging and the writing. It's got these big concepts, but they've been given to a writer that is not equipped to deal with them.
Yeah, agreed. So what you get is, and this is the problem, is that this movie really isn't for anybody. I'm dead serious. Because like I said, I read the reviews and I thought, okay, hopefully the people writing these reviews just don't like this kind of movie. The problem is that people who do like this kind of movie aren't going to like this movie. It's not smart enough. It's not well written enough. people who don't like this kind of movie are going to really hate this movie because it's like...
This movie is for that small cohort of people who love Adam Sandler and who, despite the fact that they probably didn't really enjoy it, champion Uncut Gems as, you know, the demonstration of his innumerable talents. And this is another film that's not very good, but he's being serious and not doing silly voices. See, so therefore, he is the next Pacino.
See, the thing is, I love Adam Sandler, and I love both his dramatic and his comedic roles. I actually think Uncut Gems...
You do not love Uncut Gems.
No, I was just going to say, I think Uncut Gems is one of the worst examples. I don't know why people always go to that. But I mean, please, watch Punch Drunk Love, people.
Yeah.
My
hatred... I mean, not hatred, but my disdain for Uncut Gems is the most overrated film of probably the last 20 years.
Yeah, I tend to agree, yeah.
Uncut Gems is worse than Joker. Is largely leveled at the Safdie brothers because I think Sandler is fine. I don't think he's great.
See, I don't. I think he's honestly bad in Uncut Gems. Almost as bad as he is in this film. I think he's really bad in this film.
He's not good. He's fine. And if it wasn't Adam Sandler, it was just some nobody actor, and we were talking about this film, we wouldn't comment on the acting. We wouldn't say it was bad. We wouldn't say it was good. It's just there.
Yeah. I think he's genuinely bad in this movie.
I don't think he's demonstrably bad in this film. I think he is fine. I think it's all fairly one note, but that's kind of the character, really. I mean, until the very end when fucking maggot-ridden spider makes him realize his worth.
Yeah.
His character is one note, so he's kind of doing fine.
I'm mostly just disappointed. But, I mean, this is... honestly, there's a very high chance this makes my worst of the year list. And it'll be for the same reason that 65 made my list last year. In that
don't
this is,
you dare no. put this in the same fucking bucket.
Because this, this is such a great concept. Conceptually, you read that on paper. Adam Sandler in a serious role as... a cosmonaut who is struggling with loneliness and depression, who's visited by an anthropomorphic spider played by Paul Dano. You write those words down on a page and this is what you put out? It's so disappointing.
You write those words down on a page and give them to... We're doing our pitch meeting YouTube skit now. You've given those... That skit...
I mean, you brought it up. Give it to Charlie Kaufman. Charlie Kaufman could have written this.
You've given that script to me. That premise to me, that pitch, I've flipped it. I'm now saying I'm casting Paul Dano as the cosmonaut and I want Sandler with one of his silly voices doing the spider. That's the movie I'll go and see.
You lonely up here in space?
Thank you. I was hoping you'd do that.
I'm a spider.
Don't you reckon that's a better film?
I mean, it's a different film.
Paul Dano playing it completely straight, because he's a great fucking actor.
He is.
Completely straight, bordering on, you know, lunacy and insanity because he's been up there for 6 months by himself.
Yeah.
And his wife stopped sending him messages, so he's paranoid as well. He's basically the sort of three quarters of the way through Moon version of Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
Which is also, admittedly, for listeners out there, a far better fucking film than this. Yeah. And then he's got this spider doing it. And that's something you could have talked to me yesterday!
That's one of my favorite Sandler quotes. Man, I love The Wedding Singer. Yeah, look, I honestly...
The best quote from that movie is... What is it? Take off my... whatever t-shirt before you jinx the band and they break up.
Yeah. I honestly don't. I'm done talking about this movie. 2 out of 10. I could not have disliked it anymore. And it was so disappointing because, like I said, I read the bad reviews and I was just like, nah, hopefully they've just got it. You know, it's just not for them. But it sounds like it's a movie for me. Like, on paper, that's what it sounds like. It's just, too poorly executed. It's too poorly written. Huge waste of time.
I feel like I need to message Paul for his Negatron sound drop.
Honestly, I'm we were going to do Imaginary this week with the bear. I wish we had. I bet it's better than this. I'm seeing it tomorrow just because it's on.
I bet it's not.
I don't see how it can't be.
Oh, look, I'm a... It's not a pass, but I didn't hate it. I'm like a 4.5.
Oh, that way too high.
Like one
that makes
Carrie,
me want to drop
one,
it to a one
for,
just to even
one for
it out.
Raj, one for Paul, 1.5 for Paul Dano, yeah. and like one for the maggots.
Yep. All right. Well, there you go. Next week, no new movies out. So we are going to be looking at our most anticipated films of 2024.
Yes.
Only 3 months.
Well, 2024, right? With the exception of Night Shift in June, has largely been a fucking wasteland of shit films.
Yeah.
So we're going to look forward at the things we think are actually going to be good.
Yep. I'm really excited to do that. I think that's going to be good. Don't forget to go check out Hunt for the Perfect Album, our other show where we talk about albums that we think have zero skippable tracks. They are perfect from start to finish. Mm. We're recording two episodes tonight.
If you like music and
tonight.
Have ears, that's the show for you.
Yes. And also, starting next week is the one where we watched a Friends Rewatch podcast with Noosk and I.
How you doing?
We've recorded 15 episodes now. So
could you
be...
have recorded any more episodes?
Yeah. No, we've been going like mad. So that's dropping next week. So very excited for that. So definitely... get your fingers ready over the subscribe button.
And most of all, go to pottymouthradio.com.
Yes.
Where everything Billy just said will be.
That's right.
Along with other stuff, like the merch store.
Absolutely.
Where there's merch.
And if you want to support us, you can do that at patreon.com/pottymouthradio. And we'll catch you next week.
Goodbye.